Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Thank you all for being here. So for my presentation to close out the session, we are going to go back to Sub-Saharan Africa, but step out of the realm of research and talk about practice. So AGALI, as you can see, is the Adolescent Girls Advocacy and Leadership Initiative, and I've been working on this program for about 4 years, and what we've really found is that with limited investment and capacity building and support, local organizations can engage with girls and young women to do advocacy that is actually successful at both the local and national level in the countries where we work. So I think that this ties in to a certain extent with different threads that we've heard all morning. So I'm going to go through, talk a little bit about what we do and how we do it, and then some of the results that have come out of this work as well. So some of you may work on adolescent girls' issues. It's become a big focus in the last 5 to 10 years to really focus on girls as a specific category. And that is really because they are one of, if not the most marginalized group around the world. There's between 600 million and 750 million adolescent girls around the world. As you can see from this, at least a quarter live in extreme poverty. Half or more are out of school. And maternal mortality is a top killer. So they're really at risk for a wide variety of avenues, and especially in the area of health and maternal mortality as well. So in addition to being a very marginalized group, they also represent a really intense opportunity for development and public health. There's a huge return on investment when you focus on girls and young women, for not just the girls, but also their families and the communities and the nation as a whole. And so that is why this has become a much broader focus, or a larger focus, for a lot of organizations working in public health and on these issues. So a little bit about AGALI. We're based here in the Bay Area in Oakland. And we work mainly with the UN Foundation out of New York and DC, and the West Wind Foundation. It's on the East Coast. Right now we focus in 5 countries, so we're in Central America, in Honduras and Guatemala, and then also in Sub-Saharan Africa, in Liberia, Malawi, and some smaller scale work in Ethiopia as well. So what we really focus on is ways to improve adolescent girls' lives through capacity building, funding, and support to global leaders advocating for girls. So we work generally with adult leaders above the age of 18 who come from a wide variety of sectors. There's a couple pictures of the leaders who we work with here. They can be anything from a 22-year-old advocate working on HIV with other youth to the 60-year-old executive director of a children's welfare organization. So what we really do in each of the countries where we work is focus on what the needs are at the broad national level and try to meet people where they are. And bring in people from a broad variety of sectors. So just to give 2 examples, the woman on the left here is from Ethiopia, and she's actually a very famous singer in Ethiopia, but she's also used her platform as a famous artist to bring attention to girls' issues. So she participated in our program and used some of our resources as well to broaden her reach and her attention to girls' issues. And on the right, there's 2 leaders from Honduras and Guatemala who work specifically on maternal mortality issues, and they work at the local level with indigenous communities in both of those countries. So as you can see, it's a really broad variety of people who participate in the program. We use several strategies when we're working with these leaders. So the first, and I'm going to talk briefly about all of them, is capacity building workshops. We also give seed grants to organizations that we work with. We provide technical assistance to help build their capacity in specific areas that relate to advocacy for girls. We do institutional strengthening, which are smaller workshops. I'll talk about those in a minute. And then we help the leaders who we work with as AGALI Fellows to disseminate their knowledge and information to groups of girls and other community organizations. And something that we've been doing over the last couple of years, there's really a gap for a lot of the countries where we work in terms of access to policy information. So we've been looking specifically at how we can build the knowledge base and help people access information about policy. So in general, when someone becomes an EGALI fellow, the first thing that they do is participate in an intensive week-long capacity building program. So that is about 7 days where they come together in a group of between 18 and 25 within their country. And they start out by looking at what are the major issues for girls in our country. That varies depending on the region, the country, and a variety of factors. What is the legal framework and the political reality for girls? What are the laws that are in place? What needs to happen for girls in terms of advocacy? And then they really are able to take the knowledge that they've learned during the first half and put that into practice. So they spend the last 2 days of this workshop actually developing an advocacy project that they want to do after the workshop. So considering the work that they're doing in their organization, they will go through a step-by-step facilitated process and actually develop a proposal that they take with them at the end of the workshop so that they're able to really apply what they've learned to the specific issues that their organization or their group is dealing with. So once they've gone through this training program, they are then able to apply using the proposal that they've developed with EGALI to get support to do advocacy projects on behalf of girls. Towards the end of the presentation, I'll talk a little bit about some of the specific projects that they've done and what kind of results they've had. But this process is something where they have hands-on coaching and mentoring with facilitators and trainers who we work with to really be able to develop the strongest proposal and the strongest project that really meets the needs of the girls who they work with and then be able to implement that. So the seed grants that we give in general are between $5,000 and $20,000, so they're small, but as you'll see later on, they've really been able to have an amazing impact at the national level in some of the countries where we work. One of the things that we really focus on is technical assistance, which is kind of a buzzword, but what it means for us is helping people sort of whatever they need at a specific time, if they want to develop a proposal to work on a girl's issue, if they need help thinking through an advocacy strategy issue, helping them build their networks, which is something so important for people who are doing women's health advocacy, and then helping them fundraise and leverage resources. So they participate as a group in the EGALI program, but once they've gone through the training and the seed grant process, they're also able to really work with us one-on-one to build capacity wherever they need to. So I mentioned before we also do institutional strengthening, which for us means 2 to 3 day workshops, sometimes 1 day workshops that come 6 months to a year to 2 years after their initial workshop, where they come back together as a group, sometimes 2 and 3 years worth of EGALI fellows in a specific country, to really build their capacity on a specific issue. Or, for example, if there's been an election between their first workshop and this, you know, the institutional strengthening workshop, to sort of reassess the political landscape for girls and how they can more effectively advocate for girls. And that's something actually that's going on this week. There was an election in Guatemala last year that brought a conservative government to power, and so they're right now looking at what are the implications when you're working with the Ministry of Health and trying to get contraceptive access and HIV information. That whole landscape has shifted, so this is an opportunity for them to come back together and sort of reassess. We also support the people who go through the program and become EGALI fellows to do dissemination workshops. So the group on the right is in Liberia, and these are young boys and girls who went through an advocacy training program with one of our fellows, who actually learned what advocacy is, what rights are, what rights they have as young people, and how to participate more effectively in the advocacy process. So this is a way that we try to sort of broaden the impact of what we're doing at the grassroots level. And lastly, I mentioned building the knowledge base. One of the things that we've found in all of the countries where we work is that there's a serious gap in terms of being able to access policy information. Speaking of Liberia again, a few years back there was a case where after the war that ended there in 2003, a private company came in and copyrighted most of the laws and was now charging $5,000 for a copy of their laws. So that's just an idea. That's an extreme example, but there's serious barriers for people to actually know what are in the policies and laws and then be able to change them and get them implemented more effectively. So one thing that we've done to address that is help develop policy briefs. So actually working to obtain the policies and then writing them out in not so much legalese, but more standard English that's comprehensible to people that don't have such a legal and policy background, translating them into local languages and disseminating those to community groups. So people actually know what's in the policies in their country and can then more effectively advocate on those issues. We're also working on case studies from some of the more successful work that I'll talk about next. And also, if you go to the EGALI program website, which I'll show the link at the end, there's a variety of videos and case studies and sort of advocacy toolkits using media advocacy that you can access there. That's something we've been focusing on as a way to help some of our fellows really broaden their reach and reach out to community groups through video advocacy. So this is our model. I'm going to skip over it in general. This is sort of how we work, and if you want to download a copy of the presentation or get it from me, you're welcome to kind of take a deeper look, but a little bit of an eye chart, so I'm going to skip over this for now. So to talk about the achievements and sort of what our grantees have been able to achieve in terms of women's health and policy for girls, at this point we have 89 fellows from Latin America and Africa who are advocating for laws, policies, and programs that benefit girls. They have built this global civil society network that is communicating best practices and information across cultures, languages, and regions, which is really exciting. And they've been able to reach, through that dissemination and outreach process, over 40,000 girls to build their capacity to sort of understand their rights and what advocacy is. So in Guatemala, we've been working for about 4 years, and I'm not really sure why this is hard to see. Let's start here. So with very limited funding, only about $20,000 over 2 years, one of the large organizations that we work with in Guatemala was able to get passage of two national policies to promote pregnancy prevention and services for girls, and that's at the national level. So that's one organization with a very small amount of support in a country of about 14 million people. And there's a few other examples. So a lot of the work there, there's a lot of violence against girls in Guatemala. A lot of the work that we've focused on has been on helping prevent violence against girls and then also make sure that girl survivors of violence have specific access to some of this care. So some of these results speak to that as well. One of, I think, the most exciting results and something that we have a case study about that we're developing right now is work with indigenous girls near one of the largest towns in Guatemala to actually get girls themselves to develop public policies that respond to their needs, and then work with mayors and other local people who are in government to get those laws and policies passed. And they've been successful in doing that. And actually last year got the governor of their area to get a 0.5% of the entire budget for the area allocated to girls' programs. So it sounds like a little bit, but actually when you're talking about 0.5% of an entire budget, it's a lot of money that's now going to girls' programs that wasn't. And that was something that was completely led by girls between the ages of 12 and 18. In Honduras, we've been able to help create a national adolescent sexual and reproductive health advocacy network. That's something that we supported, but was really led by the fellows, the EGALI fellows themselves, and they were able to develop it themselves. So what they're advocating for is improved implementation of sex education curriculum in schools at the national level, and they've been successful in doing that as well. Shifting to Africa, I think one of the most exciting pieces of success that we've seen from our grantees is two small local direct service organizations working on post-war reconstruction in Liberia were able to advocate successfully for the passage of a national law in only 1 year. And as we've seen with things like the Affordable Care Act, getting a national law passed can take decades. So we were really amazed to see that with this sort of targeted support and capacity building, within a year, they were able to get this comprehensive law that sort of domesticated the CRC, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and gave girls specifically access to education, health, and legal protections they didn't have before. In Malawi, there's a lot of work right now on early marriage, on child marriage, and It's not on here, but I think one of the hot button issues right now is changing the age of marriage in Malawi from 15 to 18 for both girls and boys. So right now it's set at 15, although in practice a lot of girls are married as young as 10 or 11. And so right now what our grantees are working on is getting the national age of marriage passed, changed from age 15 to age 18. Then also working with these village chiefs and traditional authorities to make sure that once this law is in place, that it's actually respected and that these sort of traditional authorities and chiefs understand why it's important to support girls' rights and what the concrete benefits for their communities are of supporting girls' education and making sure that they don't get married before the age of 18. And we're hoping actually by the end of December that that law is going to be passed, so we'll see. There's also been a lot of advocacy for readmission of teen mothers to secondary school, and they currently have this advocacy coalition that's working to increase the age of marriage, as I was mentioning. So there's really a broad variety of issues, but I think the takeaway is that they've really been able to, take this specific areas of support that we've been giving them and some of the toolkits and information that Igali provides, and use that and leverage their other sources of support to be able to get massive national level policy change to happen for girls. And it's something that, you know, we expected to take longer actually, and I think it is something that speaks to really the need for support in terms of advocacy when we're looking at girls and women's health and rights, and that there's this great need for more support to happen. And you know, there are not a lot of programs and organizations supporting advocacy capacity development for women's health or for girls' health. There's really a clear link to improved policies and a political landscape at the national level that this program and some of the results have been able to show. So I don't have time, but I just wanted to close briefly by mentioning the Liberia Children's Act again, that national act that was passed last year. If you go to our website, which is here along the bottom, there's a link to about 7-minute case study video about how they were actually able to do the advocacy. And if any of you work with community advocacy issues for women's health or girls' health, really goes through step by step how they were able to use the resources they have at their disposal to make this change at the national level. So I would recommend checking it out if you have time. Thank you.